Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We are glad you're here to kick off another week with us here with a great trip report. We're getting ready to talk with listener Nicholas about a recent quick four-night trip to Walt Disney World, so stand by for that. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Again, like I said last week, it is dads and grad season. And if you have a dad or a grad who is a Disney fan, a no-brainer gift is one of the great books by author Jeff Barnes. You got The Wisdom of Walt talking about how Walt Disney himself turned the reality of animation into a three-dimensional walkthrough experience, which was Disneyland, and how he got it done, how he got the most out of those around him. There's a lot of little checkpoints that the reader can use to apply these things that Walt did to their lives. It's an awesome book. You also have Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, the new book about Walt Disney World and how Walt took those ideas and wanted to bring them to the East Coast. So check out these great books in all different forms for the dad or grad in your life. Check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For about the cost of a couple of Dole Whips over in Adventureland, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1331 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. We are firmly entrenched in the month of May now, and hopefully it's going well for you. You're in the middle of a great spring, and just glad you're here to kick off another week. So today, another great trip report. So we're joined by my buddy Nick up in the greater Chicagoland area. We're not going to talk Cubs and Cardinals, I promise you. Well, I can't promise you that. Maybe we will, but mostly Disney. Nick, how's it going today?
It's going great, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to have you on the show. I think we already got the baseball talk out of the way before we hit record. So I think that's what, when somebody from St. Louis talks to somebody from Chicago, it tends to always go that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's best to get it out in the very beginning. That way you can really get down to business.
It's kind of like, you know, you got our Yankees and Sox fans on the East Coast. It's the same thing here in the Midwest. So that's what we do. So anyway, we're going to talk Disney. That's what we do here. So you just recently returned from a great trip celebrating a milestone in your marriage. So tell us about, you know, when you went down, why you went, and where you stayed, and that good stuff.
Yeah, so it's hard to believe that it's been 2 months already since we've been back, but we went down March 7th, and we stayed at Caribbean Beach for our 15th wedding anniversary.
All right, congratulations on 15 years. We're a few years shy of that here in this household, so well done.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
So let's dive into the Caribbean Beach, because I think this is kind of, you know, for the big Disney fan that listens to our podcast, people don't know what to think about Caribbean Beach at this point, because I know that when it comes out of the construction, it's going to be magnificent. You're going to have the gondolas. You're going to have just a higher level of amenities. But right now, and I haven't been there, but I've driven past a few times on Magical Express and just going to and from the parks, it's it kind of looks a little rough right now. So what were your thoughts on the experience as of early 2018?
So Caribbean Beach was a new experience for us, because we've always went down with our kids, and we've always stayed at, you know, All-Star Movies, or we've past few times we stayed at Art of Animation. So Caribbean Beach is a completely different animal in regards to that. You know, the rooms are all like exterior rooms, so you're not in a building. So it's all exterior access. And I tell you what, with all the construction that was going on, yeah, you saw it, but it was really a great place to stay at. I mean, the rooms were excellent. The atmosphere and everything, like, you didn't hear the construction because you're in the park during the day, right? So by the time you got back at night and everything, I mean, it was just really nice, really quiet. It was extremely huge. So there's lots of interior bus stops during each little, I guess they're named after, you know, cities and towns or what have you. So it kind of takes a lot to go through the internal bus system once you get there, where Art of Animation, you know, you have the one bus stop right there at the front. So, you know, it takes a little bit of time to go around, but, you know, they have kiosks for, like, soda and ice and everything, so you can get your refillable mugs taken care of at each little area, so you don't have to go back to, like, the ink and paint or whatever like you do at Art of Animation. And then they also, in each little area, have stores where you can get some snacks and stuff like that. So really convenient stuff that they have because Caribbean is so big.
Yeah, and right now, I mean, you can get some really good deals as the construction is going on. Basically, you can stay at Caribbean Beach for really close to the price of a value resort. But then again, you know, you are dealing with the construction and some different things. If I think that it's, in your situation, if I was just looking at it from, you know, an outsider's point of view, I think you were in the right spot where you haven't stayed there before. Now, I've stayed at Caribbean Beach a few times before, and I know what it was like before that, so it might skew what I'm thinking, you know, because I'm used to all the amenities being there, of the food court and all that stuff, but I know it's going to be awesome later. But it sounds like you, it was fine for you because you used it as a place where you guys were in the theme parks during the day, but also, I mean, it sounds like you wanted to enjoy the resort itself too, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, we try to as much as possible, but that was usually in the morning when we were first getting up and everything like that. You know, I guess, like I said, I always compare it to Art of Animation because, you know, you can spend days at the resorts when you're at Art of Animation or a place like the Polynesian or something like that. But, you know, with the Caribbean and the construction and everything going on, it, to me, it's not a place where you would, you know, spend the day just, like, hanging out at the pool or anything like that. But the outside of the buildings, I mean, they're so bright. I mean, you do get that Caribbean feel, so it's really, really cool. But, yeah, the price point was really what drove us to stay there because we did look at one of the value resorts and we saw, well, we could stay at the Caribbean for just a very little bit more and we've never been there, so let's go check that out. So we were really impressed with it.
All right, so before we dive into the parks and some of the, you know, meals and good times you had in the parks as well, let me ask, close out with this. Right now, after you've stayed there, you know, you've stayed at Art of Animation, you've stayed at an All-Star, you've stayed at Caribbean Beach. If all three of those were on the table for the same price, which one would you pick now having had the experience of all three?
If it's just my wife and I, we would go back to Caribbean. If we had the kids, it would have to be Art of Animation because we've stayed in the suites, like the Nemo and the Lion King and everything, and that suite where you just have a little, you know, that little bit of privacy after spending all day with the kids and everything like that, it's really nice. So Caribbean for just my wife and I, but with the kids, it definitely have to go back to Art of Animation.
All right, fair enough. Good. That's exactly probably what I'd say, too. So it's good because I think that a lot of folks are kind of hungering for firsthand accounts of Caribbean Beach as it is right now, because I think a lot of people are in the same boat that I am. Like, I've stayed at Caribbean Beach a few times, but not since construction started. You know, is it worth going over there? And hey, at this price, you're not going to see that ever again. It's kind of like Coronado Springs right now. You're getting some really sweet deals that I think you're not even going to go back to the normal pricing once it comes out of the construction. So take advantage of it now. All right, so let's hop into some of these things. You guys were there for 4 days, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah, we were there for 4 days, 3 days in the parks.
All right, so you guys have very limited time. You know, you want to make the most of it, but you're celebrating your anniversary, so you probably don't want to run yourselves ragged. So walk us through what you did once you arrived.
So, you know, once we, you know, dropped everything and, you know, got our room checked in and everything, we went straight into, we went to Hollywood Studios the first day because, you know, right now, you know, with the Toy Story Land, you know, getting ready to open up and with Star Wars, you know, coming next year, it's really, you know, we hear all the time on your podcast and everything that it's not really a full day park right now. So we knew that we wanted to go to Hollywood Studios, and mostly is that so that I could ride Tower of Terror, because we were there in October for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween with the kids, and my daughter kind of chickened out for Tower of Terror. So we knew that when we wanted to go back, that we were going back, I was like, I gotta ride Tower of Terror because I just have this fear that they're gonna do away with it like they did out in Disneyland, and I wouldn't be able to ride it again. So you know, we went to Hollywood Studios, and I tell you what, the crowds were so small for the time that we went. I think we arrived, the 7th was on a Wednesday, I believe. And in that afternoon, the crowds were so small. I mean, we were, the lines for, you know, we had our Fast Pass Plus and everything. but the lines were just so small for everything. And it got to the point that in the evening when, you know, right before the fireworks and Fantasmic and everything like that, we literally walked on Toy Story Mania three times in a row. You know, we just rode it, got off, rode it again. And, you know, it was really a fun time just being there with the crowds being really, really low and the weather was nice and cool and everything like that. And, you know, even the fireworks when it was time to watch, like, the projection that they do up on the old Chinese theater and everything like that, rest in peace, great movie ride. You know, the projection, we were literally, we walked right up and it was going on after getting off Toy Story Mania, and we were like two people maybe in front of us, and the crowds just weren't that big, so we were able to stay right there in the front and watch all the projections and everything without you know, being crowded and everything like that, and get a good view and whatnot. So, you know, that's what we ended up doing. I would, to step back just a little bit, we ate dinner that evening at Sci-Fi Diner, which we had never been before. We always wanted to go. And, you know, the food is, to me, I thought the food was really good. But the atmosphere in that place is just really, really cool. I'm an old-fashioned guy, and I love drive-in theaters. And that was just so awesome, the entire experience of the Sci-Fi Diner and the way that they have it set up. And you're sitting in the cars, and you look over, and you see, like, the hills and the fences, and it makes it really looks like a drive-in, and it's really cool. And we also had probably the best mixed drink I've ever had in my entire life at Sci-Fi Diner, so...
Do you remember the name of it, in case anybody wants to check it out? Maybe this
It's called, like, Magic Star.
Okay.
Yeah. To be honest with you, Mike, it was so good that, you know, I looked it up online, and you know how people were like, hey, you can make this drink or you can make that drink or something like that with these ingredients. I looked up the ingredients and I tried to duplicate it at home, and I came pretty close. It's called the Magical Star Cocktail. That's what it was.
All right.
It's awesome.
I'm going to have to check it out while we're down there, because we'll be down there with our buddies, the Gardeners, for a while this summer, and that might have to be a stop. I did the same thing. We had a great bartender on one of the podcast cruises a couple times ago. I think it was the fourth one on the Dream, and he made a drink called the Coco Cadillac. Man, that sucker was good. I always try to make it at home because he gave us the recipe, so... Yeah, same thing. So let me ask you this, though, because you mentioned how it was so awesome to walk on, you know, something like Toy Story. I mean, that's unheard of. And the weather's nice that time of year. Now, is this the time of year you normally go, or do you have to go during the summer when the kids are out of school? How's that work out for you guys typically?
Well, we typically go, when we went in the past, we usually go right before spring break. So we, you know, this is about the time of year. We usually go made like mid-March, maybe a week before spring break or something like that. Because, you know, cost-wise, it's a lot better. Crowd-wise, it's a lot better. Like I said, this past year, we actually took the kids for Not So Scary Halloween. So that was the only time we've went other than March. So, like I said, the weather is usually that time of year is really good. The days don't usually get too hot. The evenings can get chilly, but you throw on a sweatshirt, being from the Midwest, and it's, you know, pretty good weather for us.
Yeah, kind of spoils you, though, when you go down for something like that, when the weather, because, like, I just got back from, you know, we had that agent education program at Universal and Walt Disney World, and you're down there in, you know, mid-April, and it was, like, finally getting warm down, you know, it was really warm in Florida, but it had been freezing here back in the Midwest, and, you know, low crowds as opposed to when we're going to be there the first week of July. And it's one of those things, you get spoiled. You know, you're like, oh, it really does open up your eyes to folks that have never traveled in times like, you know, before, like that little window of after Marathon Weekend and President's Day and Martin Luther King, but before spring break starts happening. And then you got that window in May, right about this time of the year. And then, you know, September, when you can get down there during those times, the weather's great and there's low crowds. I mean, you really do kind of feel like a rock star when you're going around. It takes a lot of the stress out of it because you don't have to worry about fast passes and, you know, stuff like that. You can do a lot more stuff on, you know, kind of impromptu, which is how it was maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. When we took our kids for the first time, and I would say it was probably like, I don't know, 2008 was when we took our kids for the first time. It seemed a lot different as a park, and I don't want to say it was better then, it was just it seemed a lot more relaxed, and now it's just like there's people all the time everywhere, so it was definitely a great change of pace, especially compared to what we saw with Not So Scary, where it was just like people every turn. So, yeah, it was definitely a good change of pace, and we really enjoyed it.
All right, one other thing I'm going to ask you, then we're going to walk through some of the other stuff you did, because you guys did a lot in this 4 days. But I'm always curious about this, because you guys were down there as a couple celebrating your anniversary. I've not been down as a couple. I've gone a lot for, like, media events where I'm down there, you know, with Pam Forrester and lots of friends from the travel agency and so forth. But I always initially just, you see families everywhere. And especially when you have, like, you go with your kids all the time and, you know, oh, you know, Mallory would love this. Or I remember when I did this with Paige. I find myself, like, kind of feeling guilty there for a while. So walk us through. Was it totally awesome or did you miss the kids? How's that go?
So my wife missed the kids.
I love it.
I tell you what, it literally, it takes you at least half a day to feel like you're normal, right? Because to your point, you always had the kids with you. And when you have the kids with you, your day is focused around how can I make the kids happy? Because if the kids are unhappy,
Yes. You're
having a terrible time, right? So it really did take us about a half a day to get to the point where we were like, we can actually enjoy this. And once we got to that point, it was phenomenal because we were that couple that we were like, how do people come down here without kids? Like, how do you do that? And then we did it, and it was like, how do you come down here with kids? Kids ruin this whole thing. No. It's great to be with the kids, but, like, it really was. It did take us a half day, but it was a tremendous experience being able to do that because you do find yourself looking at things you never looked at before and appreciating things that are in Walt Disney World that you just typically don't because it's usually go from this to this so you don't get bored. But as an adult and you're just walking through there with your wife and you're holding hands and the sunset and the whole romantic experience, you're just enjoying everything that is Disney World.
Yeah, and you get to kind of look at the kid melting down like, not my problem today, you know? Like, that's...
Truer words have never been spoken.
You're like, been there a bunch of times, not happening tonight. We're headed over to Be Our Guest. You know, we're doing something on our... Well, speaking of Be Our Guest, you guys kicked off the next day over at the Magic Kingdom at Be Our Guest. So walk us through the second day.
Yeah, so the next day we went to Magic Kingdom and started out with Be Our Guest. And another great thing about the kids, not having the kids, like we didn't have to do like try and do rope drop or get there super early. Like we got up and all we did was want to make our reservation, which was like 9:45. So it was very nice, relaxed in the morning and everything. And I'll be 100% honest with you, Mike, Be Our Guest was underwhelming.
I'm hearing that more and more. I think, you know, the newness of it's worn off a little bit, you know, because it's been there now for a couple of years. And it's just with all the hype, I think it's hard to live up to that for some folks.
Yeah, and I think that like for the past couple of vacations that we went there, we've always wanted to go. And, you know, when you have your dining reservation and everything, it books out so quick. And, you know, we've got a bigger family, so it's really hard to get in there. And so we've always wanted to go to it. And, you know, sometimes in life, the expectations just... you can't live up to them. But what I will tell you, though, about Be Our Guest, I loved the castle, right? The ambiance, the environment, it was great. I just thought that the food was a little lacking. We sat in the dark dining room where, you know, they have the hologram rose and everything like that, and they have, like, the lightning storm and stuff. Again, the atmosphere was phenomenal. I just thought that the food was lacking. So, I mean, it's kind of give and take with that type of situation. I wouldn't say I was 100% disappointed. I was just a little underwhelmed.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of, obviously, folks know I'm not a big foodie. You know, I'm not into the fancy foods. I like them when I get the chance to eat them, but I can eat White Castle and I'm just perfectly content. So that says something about me. But I worry that places like Be Our Guest, that Disney's going to start leaning on the atmosphere and the ambiance, like you said, because it's so amazing that I think people, a lot of folks just blindly walk out of there and say, man, you know, we ate in the wing that, you know, the snow was falling, you know, while we were having our meal. Or like you said, we had the Enchanted Rose right there. And, you know, I think the food becomes a secondary thing where I had a really good steak there right after it opened. I really loved the steak. And I just hope that, and I don't know if it is or not, you know, like you said, you go to a lot of good places to eat. But I mean, I just hope that Disney doesn't take the philosophy of we don't have to worry about the actual food itself in a restaurant that is so cool, full of ambiance like Be Our Guest.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like last time when we went, we ate at the T-Rex restaurant for my son's birthday. And, you know, to me, it had the ambiance. And I know that, like, I've read reviews that people really didn't like the food. I thought the food was really good food there because, but I'm a meat and potatoes type guy. Mm-hmm. So as long as I have red meat and everything, I'm good to go. So I think maybe Be Our Guest, it was just, I don't know. There just wasn't as much to it as I thought that there would be, you know, based on how hard it is to get in there.
Absolutely. All right. So it looks like you guys spent the rest of the day at the Magic Kingdom and then you went over to the Boathouse for dinner. I want to talk about that because that's one of Pam Forrester's, every time, like, no kidding, when you travel with Pam Forrester, which I do a lot, and I'm glad because we have a blast, our families together, but it's always like, I'm getting hungry, let's go to the Boathouse. That's what she loves that place, and I can't disagree, it's pretty good. But what was it like spending the rest of the day in the Magic Kingdom, just as a couple? Because the Magic Kingdom, again, is kind of ground zero for families. So how'd you guys spend that day?
So the rest of the day, you know, it was really cool because after our meal, I had, you know, a fast pass for Peter Pan, which was, you know, that's my wife's favorite ride since Snow White was removed years ago. So we had a fast pass for that. So it was cool doing that. And then we got to, you know, walk around. And, you know, one of the things that, again, just being her and I, we were able to bounce from land to land without having to have like a really set plan. We're just like, hey, do you want to do that? Yeah, let's do that. So we rode some things that we never rode before, like Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. We had been there before numerous times, but it was always closed, and it wasn't closed this time, and we both loved that ride. We got to watch the Country Bear show, which we had never done before because we just thought the kids would be bored with it. And it was entertaining as an adult, and, you know, and just being able to say that we did that, and the People Mover in Tomorrowland, we did that. And again, those are things that we had never done before that with the kids, we just don't necessarily know if they would enjoy them. So we got to do that. And again, just being able to walk around and, like you said, watching children melt down and knowing you have no, you know, responsibility for that. And, you know, being able to take your time. And we got to ride the Seven Dwarfs ride, which her and I had never been able to ride before, which was really cool. And then, like you said, we went to dinner went to the Boathouse, and that place, Pam is right. I mean, it's phenomenal. It's a great place to eat. Food was amazing. My wife had, like, I think it was a crab-stuffed lobster. And I, at that time, had what I thought was the best steak I'd ever had in my life at the Boathouse. So Boathouse was really, really great. Loved the food, loved the atmosphere. You know, you got a view right there of the water, the bay right there in Disney Springs, and the stuff that they've done to Disney Springs in the recent years is just phenomenal compared to what it used to be, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, Disney Springs kind of, it's eye-opening to me because I was never, you know, I enjoyed Downtown Disney for what it was. You know, my wife loved going there. My daughter Paige loved going there because they would get souvenirs for everybody to bring home, you know, at World of Disney, or we'd go to Ghirardelli and get ice cream, or go to the Christmas shop and pick up an ornament for that trip. You know, it was tolerable for shopping, you know, and dining, which I'm not into. You know, it's kind of like, it used to remind me of like a glorified mall experience, you know, but it was Disney, so I was okay with it because you had that Disney touch. But now Disney Springs has so much just like free and like street entertainment and, you know, even almost like food trucks and places and really good sit down dining and Deluxe Burger that's casual dining and Blaze Pizza. And just they've hit a home run there with the World of Coke. You know, I wouldn't think I would enjoy that, but that's kind of fun. I mean, it's a bunch of stuff that added together is a cool experience. But, you know, so many things, I wouldn't go in the World of Coke typically or that kind of a store otherwise, but I'm like, yeah, why not? I'm here. So you can really, it sounds like, because you guys ended up going back to the Magic Kingdom for the Disney After Dark experience, but that's one of those places where you could easily, especially on a trip like this where you're celebrating your anniversary, spend an evening and just have a blast, I would think.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, we had to get up. You know, we had to force ourselves to get up and make our way back to the Magic Kingdom because, you know, the Disney After Dark, you got to pay for a separate ticket and everything like that. But we're like, we don't want to miss a minute of it. So we wanted to make sure we were there, you know, once it started and whatnot. So, but yeah, we could have easily sat there for hours or went from place to place. And we actually ended up going back on the fourth day when we were waiting for, you know, to go back to the airport. We went back to I keep wanting to say Downtown Disney, Disney Springs, and hung out there until we had to go back to the hotel to catch the bus back. So, but yeah, then we went to Disney After Dark or Disney After Hours or whatever they really call it. And I can tell you what, I know, like, I read a lot of reviews and people said, well, it depends on the situation, whether it's worth the money. To me, because it was just us two, I don't know if kids would be different. It was absolutely worth the money because it was just, it was so cool to be in that environment where it's limited amount of people and you're talking about the Magic Kingdom, the happiest place on earth, after dark, and just being able to see everything lit up and not having to fight with those crowds and walking on rides. Like, we walked onto the Jungle Cruise and there were like two other people on the boat with us. And we just got to go around the Jungle Cruise at night. And, you know, and we did the Haunted Mansion where we got off, we got back on, we rode it. We rode everything twice. We rode Big Thunder Mountain again at night, and, you know, we rode Seven Dwarfs. And the one thing I will say is Peter Pan, no matter when you go to Magic Kingdom, there's always a line.
They pay people just to keep it popular. You know, these people really weren't there for the party. They were their paid line standers.
I think you're right, because it's like, holy cow, we stood in line for like 30 minutes to ride Peter Pan again. And I'm like, we're wasting our time here. But my wife really enjoyed it. So, and then we finished on, like, Disney After, I just can't explain how cool it was. You had the picture opportunities. Like, my wife and I, we took this picture in front of the Rapunzel thing with the lantern together and using the Disney Photo Pass. And it was just, it came out as such a phenomenal picture for us. And, you know, we spent that time together there. And then at the end, you know, we went to see Mickey Mouse because I had heard that, you know, the talking Mickey is going away, or maybe already gone away at this point. So we went and we midnight hit, and when we were supposed to be closing down, and we were standing in line and we saw Mickey Mouse, and then, you know, that was the end of our day. So essentially we left the, I would say we left the hotel at 8:30 that morning and didn't return back until after 1 o'clock the next morning.
So that's a good day.
It was definitely a full day.
That's a good one though. Yeah. And bookend it with the Magic Kingdom, both ends. And, you know, I was wondering about this because you kind of gave me a brief summary of what you did on the trip, which I appreciate, but it didn't have an opinion on this. And I was wondering, because you said the crowds were so light, that maybe you're going to say, oh, well, you know, we walked on stuff at the studios the night before and we didn't have to pay anything additional. But it sounds like it felt like a premium experience, and that's what you were really getting in the Magic Kingdom that night.
Yeah, and that, to be honest with you, the Disney After Hours is the reason that we went back. So the day after we got back from our trip in October, the whole, you know, you read about the Disney hangover. I didn't believe in it until this past time. And then I was reading about this Disney After Dark, and I just looked at my wife, and I was like, you know what? We should go back for our anniversary. We should do this. And, you know, that was really the driver to us. And it was like we had such high expectations, and you always have that fear that it's not going to live up to it. But to me personally, because it was just her and I, it absolutely lived up to it. And, you know, we kind of looked at people kind of oddly, because when you do Disney After Dark, you get free snacks and drinks and stuff like that. So we saw people standing in line to get, you know, free popcorn and everything like that. And I'm like, you guys are missing all of this opportunity that you have just to get popcorn. So, but to each their own.
You know, that's good for you because it keeps them out of the Peter Pan line. You know what I'm saying? They're getting popcorn. So it's, you
thank,
know,
thank few, goodness.
It's only 30 minutes, not 45 because of the popcorn. So that's how you got to look at it. I guess. I don't
exactly.
know. Who knows? All right. So the next day you guys head over to Animal Kingdom, spent the day there. I really want to talk about your dinner in just a second, and you got to do the nighttime safari. But walk us through Animal Kingdom, because that is a park that's got a lot going on now. So how'd you spend your day there?
So we start out before we get into that real quick. So we went to breakfast again. We went to, I believe it's Kona, is right there in the Polynesian with Ohana, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. One of the best places ever to eat.
So that's what we thought, too. And I'll be honest with you, Mike. I liked Be Our Guest better than Kona.
Well, you know what? The way I see it, again, one less person in front of me at Kona to get that ADR. All right, good deal.
And I can't speak for the lunch, or I can't speak for the dinner. I can only speak for the breakfast. I was just, it was one of those meals that I was like really, really looking forward to going into it, and I just, it didn't live up to it. It didn't live up to me at all. The people, the staff there was phenomenal, but like I said, the food I thought was lacking, which is okay. You know, it's breakfast food. I love breakfast food. It's probably my favorite food. So you know, I just, Kona didn't do it for me, But, you know, to each their own again, right?
That's right. That's right. I mean, there's plenty of other places. There's some places I don't like that everybody else loves. I get it. And that's why I love Walt Disney. That's why I love having the podcast. I love having these conversations because it's, you know, I'm not a flight of passage guy. And, you know, everybody else is like, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with you? Something's wrong with your brain, you know? So, whatever. I'm fine. So speaking of Animal Kingdom, did you guys get to go in Pandora and experience all that?
So when we went in October, we rode Flight of Passage and we did the Navi River. But this time, we couldn't get the Fast Pass for Flight of Passage. And, you know, I'm kind of with you. Like, I thought it was okay to do it once. I don't know. I definitely wouldn't stand in line for 3 hours to ride anything, let alone that. Like, after I got off of it, I was just like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
whatever.
You know what, Nick? That's how I was. You know, I'm not a hater on Flight of Passage. I thought it was really cool, but it's still not a top 10. You know, it's still a solid, good attraction. I don't think it's like, I'm not dogging on it, but I'm just saying it's not, it didn't change my world. Like, I didn't come off the thing like glowing, you know, like it didn't change my outlook on life, but it was a fun experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. Like, if I could, you know, stand in line for 30 minutes and do it, I would do that all day long. But if it's anything more than that, I don't know if it, like, to me, it's not worth it. But, you know, I know a lot of people that absolutely love it. My kids loved it. They couldn't believe we weren't going to stand in line to do it again. But we did get to do the Navi River again. You know, we did the River Rapids, which we hadn't done before. And one of the coolest things about Animal Kingdom, we wanted to do it last time when we were there, but we didn't get a chance to. But since it was just my wife and I, we were able to see Pandora at night, which was such a cool experience. The way that they have that all set up, once the sun goes down, it's like you're walking into that world, truthfully, because you can't see anything beyond there. And they just did an absolutely phenomenal job in the way that they set up Pandora at night.
Yeah, we got to run through Pandora in for the Star Wars Half Marathon last month, and it was really cool because I got there when it was still dark because I ran from the front of the pack there. So I was lucky. I got a good corral placement. So I got to get there. I hustled because I was worried about missing my flight. So I was going as fast as these long legs could carry me. And I got there and it was still dark. And I was like, oh, this is like the coolest thing ever to get to run through a land. Because, of course, you're not doing any attractions when you're running. But to see it, the atmosphere of it when it was still dark. And again, I've been there in the park at night, too. It really does. I mean, that's Disney at its best right now, I think. You know, they've really, really put a lot of time and effort into the just how it feels and how it sounds, almost how it smells, the mist. I mean, it's just, it's a whole nother world, and I love that.
Absolutely. The entire immersion, once you cross that bridge and you walk into that land, is truly a phenomenal experience right now.
All right, so let's hit up a couple of the other things because we've got about 10 minutes left, and I want to get into these. Sanaa, what did you think? You guys ate over at the Lodge. What did you think of Sanaa?
So another one, right? The food, you have high expectations going in. And I will tell you that Sanaa lived up to it. Like, I told you that the Boathouse I thought was the best steak I had at that time. The next night, Sanaa beat it. Like, the steak I had at Sanaa was just, it was so good. It was a melt-in-your-mouth type steak. And I absolutely loved it. And what everybody says about the bread service is 100% spot on. Like, that bread service was so good, and all the dips or whatever they call them that comes with it, so many different flavors and everything, and you know, it wasn't packed, so like, you know, you could hear each other talk and everything like that. It was just a really, really cool experience, and we love Sanaa.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like a savage when they bring out the big, you know, the bread service with the 9 dips or whatever, like you said, whatever they call them, because, you know, I want that whole thing just for myself. You know, just bring that to me and I'm good. You know, it's like you're sharing, but you're tearing the breads up. But it's so neat because I think it really lends itself to the atmosphere of the restaurant. You know, you can look out and, you know, if it's not dark and, you know, you're going there for lunch or early dinner, you can see the, you know, the wildebeest out on the savannah or some crazy looking birds or giraffe or even a zebra walk by. I mean, it is such a cool, unique experience. Everybody needs to. Now, it is out of the way, though. I think a lot of folks that kind of turns them off that they not only have to go to Animal Kingdom Lodge, you have to go up to Kidani, which is kind of just a little bit removed from Jumbo House, but well worth the trip. I think everybody that's a Disney fan listening to this show, you got to give Sanaa a shot at least once and see what you think.
I couldn't agree with you more. And then, you know, the great thing is, like you were saying earlier, we did the nighttime safari, and you actually check in to the nighttime safari at the check-in desk for Sanaa. So literally when we got done, we just told the people, hey, you know, we're here for the safari. And they're like, you know, give us about 30 minutes. We're waiting for other people to arrive, and then we'll get started. So we didn't have to travel any further after going to Sana'a for the nighttime safari.
All right, so walk us through that, because I love when we get a chance to talk about things that most people, even myself, have not done. So what was it like? Tell our listeners.
So it was one of the things about the nighttime safari is, like, it's really cool because you're in an open, you know, an open air truck. So you get to see, there's no glass between you and the animals. They take you out on the reservation, I guess you would call it, behind the lodge there. So you're in this open air Jeep and you're just going through with your group. And, you know, you see the animals and they're on this, you're driving on this concrete path, but they're animals. So, you know, there were numerous times where the animals would be crossing the road, or, you know, there'd be a zebra laying down right beside, you know, where we're driving. And we ran into this situation where we had to stop because this giraffe was eating, and he was right in front of the truck, and he refused to move. He was like, "I'm eating my dinner. You guys leave me alone." And it was just a really cool experience because you're talking about, you know, 12 inches, 18 inches away from you is this humongous creature. It was really, really phenomenal. They give you night vision goggles, which is really, really cool, but you really don't need them because it's such a well-lit area because of the hotel and everything that's there. You can see the animals just fine. And a little trick for everybody, if you're ever on a safari and there's a giraffe in front of you, they don't like it when you turn on the windshield wipers. That's how they got the giraffe to move.
I wonder why that is. Did they tell you why? That's the weirdest thing.
They don't. It is the weirdest thing. They just don't like the noise.
Oh, okay. So, I was like, do they think the vehicle's like batting their eyes at them or something, kind of out of cars? I don't know. I was trying to think, why would that bug them?
Yeah, it was just the oddest thing. They told us that, like, he wouldn't move for a good 10 minutes. And the lady hollered up to the guy and said, "Try the windshield wipers." And he did. And sure enough, the giraffe turned around and walked away as soon as he heard those windshield wipers. So, but, you know, it was cool. Like weather-wise, very chilly. But they have blankets on there for you and everything. And, again, it was a really cool experience. They're very knowledgeable in regards to the animals. And, you know, those people that give those tours have been working for Disney for so long that, you know, their knowledge is second to none when it comes to tour guides and everything like that. So that was a really phenomenal experience. And the entire thing lasted a little over an hour. You just drive around the paths and around out there by the village, and then they take you back to where you were. So that was another day where we left the room at, you know, 8:30 in the morning, and it was, you know, 1 o'clock by the time that we got there. And we actually used to leave where that is, Kidani, we used Uber for the first time thanks to your podcast, because I'm like, how are we going to get back? And, you know, I know that you're a big advocate of Uber, so I, like, put it on my phone before we left, and I'm like, we're going to try Uber because I don't want to try and take the bus to Disney Springs and then back to Caribbean. We'll get there about 4 a.m. if we try that. So Uber, man, it was awesome.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, I've really rarely had anything that's negative with it, and it's cheap and it's efficient. So both things work for me. I'm not a millennial, you know, totally not a millennial, you know, in that sense. But I love the idea of just efficiency and being cheap. So, you know, now I kind of see why Caribbean Beach worked for you guys, though. You know, looking at, now that we've talked about the trip, you know, you're not there hardly at all. You know, you're there, you're spending a lot of time out and about and having a good time. Man, it sounds like it was a great trip. So as we wrap this up, any other memories that stick out? I mean, it was your first time kind of going down as a couple and really taking it all in. Any lessons learned or any stories you want to share here as we get out of here on a Monday?
Yeah, I would honestly tell, you know, any listeners that have thought twice about going without the kids, you know, do that. Like, my wife and I, we've been together almost 20 years now. We've been married for 15, and you know, we didn't have the opportunity when we were younger to go on a honeymoon. So this was really our first vacation, just her and I. And it was, people are like, why are you guys going to Disney World? Like, why don't you go somewhere else? And it's like, because we love Disney. And, you know, we used to be those people that we kind of scoff at people that go without their kids. But if you're hesitating and, you know, you haven't done it yet, go without your kids and just enjoy being able to walk around and not having to be somewhere at a specific time, and all the details that you miss when you go to Disney World, especially if you're a family like ours that, you know, we only go once every three or four years. You know, you do get to see it through a different light when you're not constantly, you know, chasing kids around or you know, planning your entire day around them. So that's what I would say.
All right. Well, it sounds like you had a great trip. And, man, I really hope we can cross paths down at Walt Disney World sometime soon. But thanks for carving out some time. And I know everybody really enjoyed the show because there were lots of tips to be learned, but also it was just kind of fun. You know, I could picture you guys. You know, I was right with you there, you know, late at night at the Magic Kingdom and on the safari vehicle. It just sounded like a great time. So, Nick, thanks again for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I appreciate it as well.
All right. Maybe we'll see you in October, and we'll see how that all figures out. We had to sneak in a little more baseball. We'll see how it goes.
That'd be good.
All right, good stuff. All right, don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Again, grads and dads season. Pick up a great gift. It doesn't have to be a grad or a dad. It's for anybody. It's a Disney fan. You know what? Get them fired up for building better relationships with those people around them, but also just great stories about Walt Disney himself. So check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And, of course, our friends over at touringplans.com. They've been doing it forever. They've been keeping you out of lines and just helping you have a great Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or even Universal Vacation. So check out all the great products they offer, and they're very, very inexpensive. You know, like I said, those people are, you know, a couple buckets of popcorn. If you're not at the after hours event, you know, you're buying that out of pocket right there. You could have your touringplans.com subscription for a year. So check them out over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike, and we've got a great Facebook page over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And don't forget, Magical Mouse Radio is back. You can check it out. Just yell at your Amazon Echo or your Google Home and just, you know, ask it to play the station on TuneIn, and you'll be set. The tunes will be playing within 10 seconds, so it's pretty awesome. So check that out as well. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Thanks again for checking in. We'll be back again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. So for Nick, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.